Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning. You can follow me on twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And if you have any questions or concerns, you can email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. And I just want to let you know, thank you for supporting the show. We're past 61,000 downloads of the podcast, and that is all due to your support, sharing with friends and family, the many important topics, health topics, political, the arts topics. So I want to thank you again for all your support and sharing with friends and family. This morning I have a beautiful, talented, fierce, confident, there's so many adjectives that can go with her, woman on the call this morning, calling from across the globe. But I want to read something to you first. This is from her foundation's website. She demands that everyone in the world recognize genital mutilation as a problem common to all countries and one we can no longer shut our eyes to. Every religious community to take a clear stand against the practice of genital mutilation. Every FGM victim needing help to get the help that she needs. All governments to issue regulations to protect girls from genital mutilation. To be mandatory for every incident that comes to light of mutilation of a minor be reported for prosecution. All victims where it is their wish to have free access to surgery to counteract the damage and to receive psychological counseling. Everyone to put into action the end of genital mutilation. So this morning I'm speaking with Juarez Deary. Good morning, Juarez.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview this morning. I'm very honored to have you.
Thank you very much for having me. And hello to every the listeners.
So this is a tremendous path you decided to take. It takes a lot of courage to do this. What gives you the strength to continue to fight about this issue?
First of all, I have to correct you for just to say, you have to say the word right. It's not just a genital mutilation. It is the two types of genital mutilation, but it's, and I'm against the both, but I find, I'm female genital mutilation is what I fight for.
Yes, yes, for the female, because you yourself experienced this and you don't want anyone else to go through, yes.
Yes. I'm sorry, but you asked me a question before I stopped you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, what gives you strength to keep fighting about this issue? What keeps you strong?
My friend, this is not really, it's not a question of it is strength. It's just simply a very bad violation of women's right. It's not just a violation of your right, it's abuse, and it's a crime, and a terrible one. Just want to give you an example that I get so many emails around the world, and I am just really grateful for that. And there's so many emails, people expressing they anger and they shock when they read, whether they read the emails or whether they read my books or my foundation. Mm-hmm. They are outraged. And there's one stuck on my mind the other day, and he said, female genital mutilation, it is the evilest thing that human being can do to another human being. And really, it is a devil's work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best word I can put it in. And so that's why I have found that it's not about standing strength. It is something had to be done. It is something absolutely had to, the world has to recognize it all at once and just know the wrongness and what it is and what it's there for, and just stop. It's
yes.
Just stop. It's no place for the 21st century. There's no time for it, and it's unbelievable how less people know. And the example, like first time I wrote the book, or I told this my own story.
Mm-hmm.
It was people were horrified from right, left, everywhere in the planet. They were horrified, and I really thought that was the end of female genital mutilation. I said because the world will jump on it and will stop, and this will be the end. And
right,
yeah.
And it'll be over.
That was 3 years ago, and the problem is still here.
Yeah, the problem is still here, but thank God for your organization. I want to mention your website, www.desertflowerfoundation.org. You can learn more about what Morris's organization is doing, things around the world, laws being passed. I know in the United States there are many states that is a felony, but France is one of the more progressive countries really trying to fight this. But unfortunately, a lot of people still aren't being arrested. But for performing these acts, not just in Africa, outside of Africa and Arab countries. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in America. This is documented, and you talk about this on your website. So people need to wake up. But let's just talk a little bit about you and your life. Many people are still not aware of your story. You ran away from home. Talk to the audience a little bit about your journey from Africa to London and then to New York.
I can. I'm sorry. It's not. It's so not difficult, but it's amazing. I am repeating a story of my life that I told so long ago.
Yeah.
And to me, that it has no taste for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell those who does not know my journey. I was born and raised in Somalia, East Africa, and as a little girl. I was just a little child, really. Just I don't like to. I have to tell you that we are nomad and we live as we just move on with our animals and herds and just camels, goats, sheep, and that's all the source you know and in life. You there's no can't. There's no place you live. You just move on with your animals and search for grass and water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole existence. And they mutilated me when I was about 3-4 years old, because nobody knows how old you are. There's no birth certificate and there's no such age. But so I'm guessing as a memory, I was literally really, really few, just
very
small. 2 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after that, I remember when I was older, that about 10, 11, my father decided he had to marry me off as a forced marriage to an old man. And for one somehow, for whatever reason, I remember the day of this horror. I remember knowing somehow deep down in my heart and soul and spirit, tell me that something's very wrong here, that God did not meant for this. I really felt that. I don't know how I could tell you, but, and top of that, when I was old enough at 10, 11, 13, I don't know what, father wanted to marry me off an old man I have never met or seen and want nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when I decided there's something wrong here, that I should have a right and a choice for my life. And there's something wrong here that I must really, and I had to find a way to fight and
yeah.
demand it. And the way to do it was just run away. And I had no idea where I was going or what would happen or what was in front of me.
It's amazing that you survived. Amazing that you survived, you know, to be here today is a blessing, you know.
You'll be amazed when you fight for your right, what the strength you fight, you find in you. You'll be amazed.
Mm.
And I know everybody know what I'm talking about. When you had to, in those moments, you will do anything. Just not to lay down and die, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
survive.
And then I made it to the capital, and after weeks and months of running, and how long I can't remember, but it was a long. And food, no water, food, and not know where I'm going. But I made it to the capital of my country called Mogadishu, and I met a family, and it's a long story. I think the people need to read this story or the book.
Yeah,
or
they
the
need
movie.
To. I'm going to get some copies of your book away for the audience. So,
Yeah. Anyhow, I made it to England. I ran away from my uncle because they wanted to take me back to the desert and to bring me back to the what I
right.
And then so I ran. I had to run away from him too. And it was a really was a it was a lot of challenge as a little child to go through and make such a decision and so difficulty. And but I made it to England and I met my uncle who was married to my auntie. And then they were working for diplomats. They were diplomat ambassador in London. And from there, a few years later, two, 3 years later, they left. I worked in the house. I was not allowed to study or leave the house or do anything but clean and cook. I was a servant for 4 years. And then from there, they went back. And then after that, I did not want to go back. I had to stay. I ran away from them when they wanted to take me.
You were just running and running.
I find my own world. I have to find my world. I have to find me, not to be servant or slave for no one for all my life and be... You know, I wanted to find my own happiness and my own choices and whatever it is that are out there for the world or whatever meant to be.
Do you feel now that you are you have your child and your family, do you feel peace now? Do you feel that you've come?
I always was in peace. Only trouble followed me. It was everywhere I wanted. Everywhere the child was standing in front of me. It was something unwanted. That it was always that you have to really. I just because I don't know. I find it that we all have right. We all, you know, there's a love and respect, and there's not much of that in the world today. And I don't agree with that. And I just think the whole world needs to calm down and stop fighting one another. See what is important in life.
It's life. Yeah, it's so easy for us to speak about peace, and it's so difficult to get. But it would definitely improve our lives if there was less fighting in the world and more peace. But that's again why you are trying to educate people and protect women around the globe. You know, through your foundation. For people who are just listening, just tuning in, you can call 646-929-0368 to call and ask a question, or you can ask me a question in the chat room. You want to check out desertflowerfoundation.org. I'm going to be giving away some copies of Warris's book, so please check out the fan page on Facebook and Twitter to find out how to win a copy. But some interesting, you are friends with Ayan Hirsi Ali. I had her on the show also discussing this issue, and I want to make it clear that female genital mutilation is not necessarily part of a religious path. It is a cultural issue that's being fought. Christians practice it, Muslims practice it, and it is a violation of women's rights, and it needs to be stopped, and that's why Warris is here. But let's talk about some love. You found your love in New York City. Tell us about that.
Oh, my dear. That love escaped a long time ago again.
but it's a nice story. It's a nice story. We can talk about
it. It's a beautiful story, but, you know, hey, really, I mean, when I say the world needs peace, I mean, just watching yesterday was two people, what was it? The whole world is stuck to the, whether it was a TV or whatever you
wedding.
Are. It was
the royal wedding.
The wedding of the royal two young people couple. And then this show, the whole world stopped for a second. And for what? You know, it was just came together. And really for moments of not worry about 1 minute of war and a pain and a suffering. And it was just, you realize, end of the day, my God, the world says that's all you need, love and peace and kindness to come together. Really, is that all it is? And we can do it. You want peace, you can get peace.
Yes, yes. I think people's greed and wanting more and thinking that if I get this piece of land, if I get to control these people, if I get this political position, then I'm going to be happy. But I think the idea of wealth needs to be changed. Wealth can be wealth and family. Wealth can be happiness. Wealth can be spiritual peace. There are so many types of wealth that
yes, my dear.
You know?
really greed, and this is when the troubles start. The greed and the selfishness.
Yeah.
It's when everything goes out of nature's law or God's law.
Yeah.
You know, this is when greed and pain and killing and you know, this.
You know what
it's said? My mother told me as a child, really, and I really, really, truly stand by this one word, and said, she says, take only what you need.
Mm.
Take what you need. There's a bowl full of food. Only take just the bit you need.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's somebody else who need it the same.
Yes.
And it's the only thing I teach my children, you know, fairness and kindness will take you far, far, far to life and a better place.
Yes. Let's talk about that. Being a mom, how do you feel? Do you feel happier now? What is your joy with your children? What do you hope for them?
You keep saying to me, are you happier now? I've never been a sad human being. I don't know about sadness, and I don't know about misery. I'm in a place that I don't feel I'm happy, or there's something, I'm doing something that is not happy for my soul or spirit or anything, then I don't have to be in it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to be around violence. I don't say bad violent words. I don't deal. I believe the universe. What you give is what you get.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
but you know, whereas a lot of women don't have your strength to say, I'm going to get out of this situation. I'm going to leave this family. I'm going to, you know, go across the globe. They don't have that, what you have, you know, that to leave a situation, domestic violence or female genital mutilation, or, you know, go against their family. They don't have that strength. They need you and others to, you know, support them like that. So you're powerful in that way, you know?
Well, I mean, really, we all, every single human being, we are the same, and we have the same, we everything built and feel the same, veins running blood, the same. It's just simply, it's really believe in yourself that, don't shut your eyes and trying to go through a wall or fight. Just, I can do it. I can do this, and I do not wish to go through this or do this or have to be. I don't have to, because to do my own road in life, to do my journey to life, whatever, you know, be what God wants me to be. What is that? Instead of being held down and accepted.
Mm.
No. Then there's no life for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Who will take me anywhere they want to take me? But but who am I? What am I meant to be? What am I supposed to do? What is my journey? What is my purpose? What is, you know, this? It doesn't take you universities to learn this, to feel it in your heart. And so what is right and what's wrong? No books can teach you this.
No books can
teach you. Right and wrong. You know what? A child knows what's right and what's wrong. But we do it every day, regardless of what would happen, what will be after, you know, without the consequences. We just boom, bam, here, there. It's a madness.
Let's talk. We only have about 10 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about your career modeling. What was one of your favorite places to model in the world?
Oh, in the ocean, maybe in some island, in the beautiful paradise island, the forest, the sea, the wind.
You like nature.
I love nature. I love nature. I grow up and I know nature.
So how
my moment of happiness is nature. Anyway, it's nature. Yeah.
Who's your favorite photographer to work with?
Oh, my dear, this is Sophia. Oh, difficult one. I don't know if you know them though now, you know. I mean, few are dead now, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, there was a guy called Terence Donovan, who was a great photographer. Uh-huh. There's so many of them. There's Albert Watson.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Herb Pritt, which is dead too.
Yeah, he's very famous.
How
was it? You were the first African American woman, African, I would say, woman, to work for Oil of Olay. How was that? experience.
It was just an Olivier. It was Revlon too.
Yeah, Revlon.
Revlon.
Mm-hmm. How was that? Do you feel you broke ground for other?
Well, it wasn't to me. I don't. I have no idea what the first black would like to be. I mean, I just thought you needed a pretty girl to sell something, and it doesn't matter what color she is. But I didn't know what I was getting in myself, and later on I learned a few things. But no, it was really. I honestly knew the racism in the fashion industry was, you couldn't escape from it. It's there all the time and everything,
yeah,
every minute. But at the same time, I think I was lucky, the right time at the right place. And you know what they used to call me? They used to call me white woman with a tan. Well, I mean, you know, you can take it anywhere you like it, but
yeah.
That's what they used to call me, because I have, you know, my features, they said, is like a white woman with a black skin. And they,
right.
So for them, I was probably a little bit aphrodisiac and a little different. So I don't know.
Now, how about swimming? In your book, you talk about the first time you went swimming. That was a very cute story. You were sitting on the pool and kept looking and looking, but you didn't go in. And then you went in and you were like a fish.
You picked that one up. I tell you, if I had the chance, I'm an athlete. I love running, swimming, you know, nature. This is my thing.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm good at two things and sports, running and swimming.
Mm.
And I always said, if I had this chance, somebody trained me, I would have been really professional for Somalia somehow. But there you go. So I wanted to swim, but I was, the desert was never enough water.
Right.
And so I always just dream, and the water was so much always trouble to find water. Water was the source of, the breath of water just was really, water is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So water became life, and life and death. It was just, there was nothing else, that water was so important. And when I was in London, and I had a young little baby girl that you used to babysit, and I used to take her to the swimming pool, and she'd swim, and I watch her, and I just was so desperate one day. I said, and I never, I had no idea how to swim. So one day I said, I'm going to just go. And again, go back to what I say. If you want to do something, you can do it. You can, believe me, you can do it. Believe in yourself. You can do it. So somehow, and it's the truth, honestly, my truth, I closed my eye and I pretended I was a fish inside me. And I will come out from other side, under the water. I honest truth, my truth. And exactly what happened was that.
Yeah.
Except this stupid me, I didn't know how low the water was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I smashed my chin and blood everywhere, but I didn't even feel it. I really did not feel it until the body, the lifeguard jumped, because he knew I couldn't swim.
Yeah.
And then realized I could swim, and he was angry, and I was fine. And from that day, I was free, like you can't believe.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about some food. What's your favorite fish, the dish to cook for your children? What do you like to cook?
You know, we really, much of Africans, we eat anything.
Fish,
rice, meat, except the pork somehow. Not because it's Muslim don't eat it. By the way, it's nothing wrong with pork. It's another myth. It's like FGM. They think it's meant to be, and it's a God's way. They have no idea. You see what ignorance they do to you. It's painful. Anyway. So, where was I?
Okay, about
food. Yeah, not much of a... We eat anything, really. We eat anything. Love vegetables, rice, pasta. A lot of pasta, because of colonies of Somalia, Italy, remember? So, much of a pasta.
Let's talk about your foundation again. I want to mention to the audience, they should go to desertflowerfoundation.org to check out Waris's foundation. Also, you can check out the movie, desertflowermovie.com. We only have about a couple minutes, Waris, but I saw your interview, I think it was right after the movie came out, and you were very pleased with the movie. How do you think this is going to change people, now it's coming out again in the movie theaters. How do you think it's going to change them? What do you hope it will do?
Well, I know what. First of all, I want to tell you quickly. I know you don't have much time. When I wanted to do the book, I wanted to write the story of this horror of undercover war against women, of genital mutilation, and millions and millions of women, and it's unacceptable. Nobody says or do anything, and I just thought, oh my god, how am I going to tell this? So I thought I added a little bit of bullets of my life story.
Yeah.
And I did it. I put the whole my life story, and it's the only way I could make the book readable and to make the word heard. Mm-hmm. And then no publisher were absolutely wanted to talk to do anything with the book. Everybody say no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay, I'm gonna do it for the university, for schools and library. Really, that's honest truth is what. And I was one day an old lady find me and she said, we will do it. And then from there, the bigger agency took it, the book, and then the book ran away by itself. And really did well. And then I thought, okay, this is the good, because it's the only way you can read. I can't run everywhere by myself and tell the story. The book can reach faster, yes. And then it didn't do us. I wasn't satisfied.
You wanted to more?
Yes. I tell you, where I'm satisfied is the day I hear it's no longer existent, you know,
yeah.
FGM.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, oh God, this is still here. What can I do? So I thought, movie. And how many people are bothering me for years? Can we, you know, do the movie, make a movie? You want to do a book of your movie, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, I'll do the movie, but who the hell will do this book? Now was another challenge to find who will really get into this book and believe in it and do the right.
Yeah.
It's a complex story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this German, wonderful, wonderful director, Sherry Herman, her name is, and said, I will sit down and I thought, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You can have this book. You can have it. You can do the movie. You can do it. But
right.
I only ask you one thing. I only ask you desperately one thing, that when the audience walk out of that movie, I want them to remember something. You know, I want them to have an emotion. I want to feel. I want to rip their heart.
You did, because when I see the movie, people were crying in the movie theater, and people, you know, were talking as they left, and just like, wow, because they weren't familiar. I mean, before your story, Marie Claire, I myself already knew about the practice and knew what was going on around the globe to women. And I was very happy to see your article, I remember years ago, in Marie Claire, because it helped more people know. But Leah Kabady in the movie was awesome. I mean, she did a beautiful, she should receive an Oscar almost, because the nuance of her acting, you know, portraying you and your story was wonderful. Very beautiful story. Very beautiful movie.
Thank you.
Very beautiful. And I love Anthony Mackie.
Oh, yeah, that beautiful. You know my lover? I haven't even met this beautiful lover man.
You got to meet him. I just think he's a great actor. He's underrated. People, when you say his name, they're like, oh, who? But then you see him, you're like, oh, okay. But Anthony Mackie is a wonderful performer, very intelligent actor.
Really, truly, I fall in love with him. I saw this clip of I'm so wow, this kid. So, who is this guy? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So, I think everybody did a really great show
for the movie. Well, thank you so much, Waris, for being on the show today. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I wish you much success in destroying this act. I will do my best to support you. I definitely don't agree with what's happening and try to educate people about female genital mutilation. So thank you so much for being on the show. Dziękuję. That's thank you in Polish. Yeah.
Yeah. Just one more. I know one more, please. I'm sorry.
Yes,
but
go ahead.
I just, you know, in a note of education, this is not a Muslim problem of when you talk about female genital mutilation. Egypt is doing it. Algeria, Nigeria, they do it. I mean, it's so
in
many.
America, they do it.
Connecticut, they do it.
Yeah.
And it's so many. And this is this practice. It doesn't. There's no religious. It doesn't belong anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, we just have to all run. Really, we have to just, we somehow or desperately we have to stop this. And the more people say no, the more we talk about, the more we fight against it, like all the terrible thing going on in the world, abuse, the more we will have a better world.
I agree. The silence has to be broken. Silence has to be broken, and support needs to be there for the women who are going through it, and to explain that they don't have to live like that. I think that's the important issue, that they think that's the way it has to be, but it doesn't have to be that way for men and women.
Education. This is where the education comes, my friend. This is where, and all you think this woman. I mean, I started with me. I had no idea that I had a right. That what happened to me was against my own, was violation of my own. I didn't know that as a child.
Yeah, you
didn't
know.
I didn't go to school. So if a woman, a girl, knows her own right and what is wrong, and this is wrong, then she can fight for her life. But, and that's anybody.
Anybody.
Until, yeah, so education, it is key to all problems in the world.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, much love from America to me.
Much love.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, you have a beautiful Saturday, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I just got off the phone with Juarez Fury, beautiful, energetic, spirited, fierce woman fighting for the rights of women around the globe, stopping female genital mutilation. Again, as she mentioned in the interview, it is not religious based. This is culturally based, and Christians in the world do it, and Muslims. So it's nothing to do with religion. It's a cultural issue that if a woman is not circumcised, and this is a range of circumcision, from just cutting the clitoris to cutting both of the woman's lips off so that she is a flat wall. And in Warris's case, she talks about only having a pinhole to be able to pee, to be able to her cycle, her menstrual cycle, to come out in drops. It drops, not even a full stream, because the hole was so tight. But this is thought to be the best for the woman, that so she can get married, so she'll have, you know, a family. But then when she tries to pee, she tries to have her cycle, she tries to have sex, or she tries to have a baby, she can die from infection, from all different types of disease with the instruments people use, the transmit HIV, tetanus, all kinds of things. Warris herself almost died. She received infection. But this is happening not just in Africa. It's happening in Europe. It can be happening next door to you in America, where people are doing it to their children because they think this is the best way, because a woman who is not circumcised is loose, is dirty, is filthy. This is not true. This is not true. I am not a circumcised woman, and I know that I'm not filthy, that I'm not bad, that I'm not going to hell. You know, that these are myths, okay? This is not the case. There are beautiful women who are not circumcised, living full, wonderful lives, who got married, who had children. But for health reasons alone, it is a horrible practice, and it has to stop. So if you see or hear, or you might think that a young lady has gone through this, please be open to talk to her and let her know that she can get help, that she can get surgery to change the situation. So, again, thank you so much for listening. You can follow me, Joy Keys, on Twitter.com/Joy Keys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, you can email me. Send me an email, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. I'm going to be giving away some copies of Warris's book, so look on the fan page, become a fan, or follow me on Twitter to find out how to win a copy of the book. And I wish you much success and love in your life. A beautiful week coming up. Tune in next Saturday. I'll be talking about the issue of lupus and also epilepsy. I'm going to have three kids who have epilepsy talking about how they battle this disease and try to educate other children about epilepsy. So stay tuned. That's next Saturday, May 7th, 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Muscle aches, rashes.
To find an answer.
Hair loss. I'm so tired.
You need to ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus?
For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.